411 Live.
Where you can learn about issues that affect us every day. State of World, 411 Live.
Real people, real talk.
Made to help people in our community in every way. For your girl, 411 Live.
Has something ever happened to you that was so horrific that you wondered if you would even make it? I have a feeling that feeling has happened to a lot of people in Milwaukee because of the ever-increasing amount of people being killed on our streets. Hello, everyone. I'm Beverly Taylor, and this is the 411 Live. Real people, real talk. My guest is Wanda Welch. She is the mother of Stephen Kennedy Jr. Now, this is a young man who was killed in 2019 during a carjacking. We're talking about something horrific that has happened. I don't think you can get much more horrific than that. Welcome to you, and thank you for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I want to talk about this whole journey because, you know, you're going from that journey of, you know, I can't even imagine the feeling that you went through. Yeah. Going through that and getting to forgiveness, mm-hmm. resiliency. So we have a lot to talk about.
Yes.
But first of all, let me just say I'm very sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
Tell me about Stephen. What kind of person was he?
So Stephen was a great cook.
Yeah.
He actually was getting ready to open up a restaurant.
Wow.
He had gotten all of his equipment. His dad was going to rent him a building. He was all ready. He had an uncle that was actually helping him prepare to do this. He was a very, very good cook. His dad at the time had a store, and he used to cook in his dad's store. So he's always enjoyed cooking. He was very funny. He was actually hilarious. And he was born on Christmas Day. I think that's one of the most unique, phenomenal things about him that will always stick with me is the fact that he was born on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
One very unique thing about him is that every year during Christmas time, he used to do a toy drive.
Really?
Yes. He would use his own money to buy a lot of toys, and he would wrap those toys, and he would invite kids. So he would rent a place somewhere, and he would invite kids from all over to come, and they could choose two toys.
Wow. Wow.
Yes.
That's really impressive because we're talking about a young man. I mean, when he died, he was 30, right?
Yes.
So he was really young, and he was thinking of other people.
Yes.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. So I want to take you back, and this is that painful part. Mm-hmm. I want to take you back to April 12th, 2019, and this is when this tragedy happened. I believe he was in the alley between Lancaster and Villard?
Yes.
Okay. What did you know that happened that day?
So based on information that we have from the detectives and the police reports and everything, we know that he was left in the alley, clothless, so he had no clothes on. The only thing he had on was a pair of white socks.
Wow.
He had been laying there overnight. According to the documentation, he may have gotten killed around between like 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
A lady was on her way to get her daycare children, and she found his body in the alley.
Wow. That's horrific. Talk about trauma. Trauma all across the board. Trauma for you, for the siblings, for dad, for what? Was he married?
He was.
For his wife?
Yes, he was married.
For this woman who found his body in this state? You know, and a lot of thoughts going to my head that this was evil.
Yes.
You know, not only, wasn't he shot like 6 times?
Yes, he was.
So not only was he shot 6 times, they took his clothing off. I mean, that was just
it's total inhumane. It's inhumane.
It's just total evil there. Okay. So this happens to him, and we go a little time. We don't know who did it, why, all of those questions are out there. And then it's discovered that someone's camera on their security camera on their house picked up something.
Yes.
some guys moving around or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was the best video, but they were able to find these people.
They were.
What was your reaction when you found out that these guys had been arrested?
Well, I was very grateful to God. They were not found right away. They actually were not found until, I believe it was 2020, when the police started kind of putting pieces together. Mm-hmm. And so it was a sense of relief. I had hope again, because I have two children, a 12-year-old and a 14-year-old, who will not know their brother. Mm-hmm. So when we decide to pick up a gun and shoot it, we are not just impacting the individual that we are shooting that gun at, but there are multiple people who are being affected by this. Stefan also has another brother who has just been traumatized by this situation. And so that sense of relief and gratefulness at the same time, being grateful that God showed up. Because, yes, the police didn't know who did it, but as a pastor, I am a strong believer. I have a strong faith. And I knew that they were going to be caught. I prayed every single day. And I reminded God of his promises in the Bible. And not only did he show up, he showed out. All four people have been apprehended.
Wow. Okay. So this is 2019. Mm-hmm. And we're still in the judicial process for this.
Yes.
These folks still have to go to trial, at least two of them.
Yes.
I think one has pled guilty.
Yes.
Okay. And may testify against the others.
Yes.
Two will stand trial.
Yes.
From the process, the court proceedings, I'm sure they've been in court, had appearances and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Have you gone?
I have.
You've attended those?
I have.
You know, when I was a reporter, and I would cover a lot of court cases, and I would wonder about the families. You know, is that like ripping the scar, ripping the scalp off, or, you know, going through that and hearing that stuff?
Absolutely. It's like taking a Band-Aid off of a healed sore.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, I put this Band-Aid on here, this scar is healed, and when you go to court and you start hearing the graphic details, mm-hmm. it not only does something to your mind, but it does something to your heart.
Yeah.
It's very painful to listen to these things that was done to my son.
Yeah.
And then when I have two young children asking me questions about why, and I pretty much can't supply them an answer because I don't know why.
Okay, so we've gotten to that point. They're arrested. And let's go back to that house that had that camera, because I know that you've been vocal about the need for more cameras around this place.
Yes.
Especially in the area where the crime happened, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Where is that?
So around 68th and Lancaster. My goal is to get at least one camera up in the neighborhood. I would prefer to get it up right back there where my son was killed. Mm-hmm. However, if it's anywhere over in that neighborhood, that is going to be a blessing for the people in the neighborhood. According to what I've read, that's a high crime area, and they could use cameras in that area. We have cameras in the suburbs. We need more cameras in the city where the crime is higher, where it's more intense, where it's happening more often. And so that is one of my goals, is to get a camera for the people in that area. I've actually canvassed the area. I've interviewed people. I've asked them about how they feel about living in the area. I've asked questions. And I've asked them, hey, do you think a camera could benefit this area where you live in? And every single person said yes.
Yeah. So is your, in your effort, are you trying to get the city to put cameras up in that area? Or are you asking or wanting more residents to put security cameras on their homes?
In some suburban areas, they have cameras like literally in the lights. They can be put in the lights in the back of the house. If I have to use my own funding, that is going to happen for that particular area. So I'm not necessarily talking about like a house security camera.
Right.
I'm talking about something more permanent that would be, that would work more accurately. And I do have people in my family and friends who were also touched by the death of my son who are also partnering with me to have this happen.
All right. That sounds good. That sounds good. Let me just go to the point of, you know, you face this tragedy, and then you get to the point of forgiveness, because you told me you have forgiven them 100% for this crime that took the life of your son. How do you get from the tragedy, losing the son, the grief, to that point?
Absolutely. I said that and I meant that. I have no malice whatsoever in my heart. I totally forgive each person involved, from the person who drove the car to the person who stole my son's car, everybody in between. Because the reality is this. My bitterness, if I had such a bitterness, would not only hurt me, but it will hurt those around me and it will hurt them. So the best thing that I can do for these young men is to pray for them. Pray that each of them change their life. First of all, it is so important that their heart is changed, because everything that we do, it stems from our heart. Everything, every decision that we make, everything that we are a part of, when you think about it, if you think hard enough, even business ideas and all of that, it goes back to the heart. When I came up with the idea to start my home healthcare agency, that was a heart thing. I had been thinking about it. I wanted to see how I could help other people who needed good health services in their homes. So everything stems from there. So if God can change their heart, I won't have to, we as a society won't have to worry about another mom sitting in a chair being interviewed by you because their son was carjacked, robbed, killed, and left naked.
Right.
So this is not just about me. This is bigger than me. It's a society issue. The last time that I looked at the statistics, gun violence is huge. It is not just a local problem. It is a national problem.
Absolutely.
And so for that reason alone, I forgive. This is not about me. It's something bigger than me. And not only that, I'm a believer. I can't profess to say that I'm a believer and not find forgiveness in my heart. Now, I'm not going to tell you it was easy, because I would be sitting here not being honest. I needed help from Christ. And he helped me get to this very point that I am today.
Yeah, yeah. And you make a wonderful point that, you know, operating in unforgiveness, it helps, it hurts you. I mean, and you can just think about all the things, you were talking about the heart, but, you know, physically, it can manifest. Disease, all those things can happen when you operate in unforgiveness. But you have many, many other good points to make. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and hear some of them. Stay with us. You're listening to the 411 Live. Real people, real talk.
Whether it's our stories, the warmth of our laugh, or our family's secret sauce, we all bring something different to the table. So make some space. The power of connection is waiting right outside your comfort zone. Learn how you can help strengthen your community at belongingbeginswithus.org/teamup.
People couldn't see my potential, so I had to show them.
I've run this place for 20 years, but I still need to prove that I'm more than what you see on paper.
Today, I'm the CEO of my own company.
It's the way my mind works. I have a very mechanical brain.
Why are we not rethinking this?
I am more.
I'm more than
who I am on paper.
Welcome back to the 411 Live. I am talking with Pastor Wanda Welch. She is the mother of a young man who was killed during a carjacking, Stephen Kennedy Jr. We were talking about, unforgiveness and forgiveness, and you have reached the point of forgiveness for the young men who were responsible for your child's death. And I think you even went so far as to write a letter to the court.
Yes.
Was this a letter on their behalf? What did you want the court to know?
I wanted the court to know how this tragedy has impacted myself and the rest of my family, but I also wanted each of them to know that I forgive them. So a lot of the letter that I wrote is telling them that I forgive them, why I forgive them, and asking them to be willing to change their life.
Wow. Okay. And this is even before, you know, they haven't gone through the whole process. Mm-hmm. They haven't been convicted. They haven't been sentenced yet. And you've already written to the court. So mm-hmm. the court knows how you feel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very good. So we're talking about the things that happen from tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's transformation.
Yes.
And so that word transformation has a special meaning to you, right?
It does.
You have decided on a ministry, and it's called Being Transformed Ministry.
Yes.
Where did that come from?
It stemmed from the very death of my son. Mm-hmm. Because once again, I was saying, how can I do something? How can I actively do something to help this tragedy, this triumph, this pain become something positive?
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that making some change in the world, helping people have a change of heart, is impacting our society. And again, not just for me, but for you, for children, for elders, for everyone. We can make this place, this world, a better place to live. But we have to be intentional, we have to be strategic, and we have to be willing and able to do things that it take to do that.
Okay, so tell me about some of the elements within this ministry.
So Being Transformed Ministry mm-hmm. is a ministry that will mainly do Bible drives here locally as well as globally. We believe that the word change people. We believe, again, that once their heart change happens, you want to be a better person, right? Faith change people, regardless to what your faith is. Whether you're Baptist, Buddhist, whatever you are, faith change you. And so we believe truly that if we can change people by introducing them to faith, that's going to help them be a better person. They're going to look for good things to do. They're not going to be looking for someone to rob.
Okay. So you've got the Bible drive, mm-hmm. and that would entail what, people donating Bibles?
So both things. It will entail us, people donating to us, as well as us donating out to churches who don't have Bibles. Mm-hmm. In Kenya, there are some churches there that don't have a Bible. In Guatemala, there are some churches who are really lacking Bibles.
Right.
And even here, right here in the United States, there are some churches who really need more Bibles.
Okay. So that part, the drive, and I understand another element is a podcast.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It is. Being Transformed Ministry will be doing a regular podcast.
So with that podcast, because you're distributing Bibles, so I'm guessing that it's based on the Word of God.
It will.
Okay, so you're spreading the word of God mm-hmm. through the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But it will also be doing other teachings as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be just everyday teaching. How can you become a better person? So I'm an educator by trade. I've been an educator for years. And so just helping people become the better forms of themselves. Right. So helping people become better people.
Yeah. How has this tragedy changed you? I know the journey and the forgiveness and the ministry, but how else has it changed you, do you think?
I think it has really shown me just how difficult it can be to forgive hard stuff, right? If something happened to us, like we get carjacked, but the people didn't kill us, well, that's easy to forgive. Mm-hmm. But it has really taught me how to forgive something hard and how to teach others to do that.
Do you, since this has happened to you, do you find that people who have a similar story gravitate to you?
I do. I do. And I am grateful to be working with some local organizations on gun violence, Mothers Against Gun Violence, mm-hmm. and Victims in Milwaukee. They do a lot around gun violence. In fact, I have something that I'm going to be going to next Saturday that's not related to these two organizations, but it's a third organization that's against gun violence. Because I think that we really have to be very vocal about this global problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just a problem here.
Right.
When I went to Guatemala, I saw that they have some of the same issues that we have here. And so it's a global issue.
Do you think that people, because like you said, gun violence, it's on the rise. It's not going anywhere, although we're hoping to stem the tide, so mm-hmm. to speak. But do you think that people really recognize what they're doing when they pick, when they choose to pick up that gun and fire that gun, the ripple effect of what they're doing? You know, they may kill this person that they have a beef with, but do you think they even realize all the other people that they're also affecting? Do you know what I mean?
I do.
Do you think people get it?
I don't. I honestly don't, because I think if they did, the gun violence rate, both locally, mm-hmm. nationally, and globally, would not be at the high level that it is. So I don't think that they recognize that or realize that.
What do you think can be done to that? Is it one of those things where people, such as yourself, to continuously tell their story,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
so that people can get a sense of the hurt, the devastation, the family disruption, all the things that this does to other people?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's important for us to work together,
mm-hmm.
be it as a community, on the state level, national level, even in neighborhoods, right? There used to be a time when we were younger where they had neighborhood block watches.
I remember that.
And people kind of looked out for what was happening in the neighborhood. One of the things that I think we should consider doing is going back to some of that.
Well, you know, if we could just get to know our neighbors, that'd be a good start, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And that's one way to do it, because many of those various groups, they would have regular meetings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot has changed since we were kids, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely.
What is the message that you want to leave people with?
The main message that I want to leave people with is this. Put down the guns. Put them down. Now, if you're using them to hunt or something like that, I understand. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you're picking up a gun to use it in a violent way, you need to think before you do that. In addition to that, I want people to really search their heart and think about forgiving someone in their life that they're holding malice against, that they are angry with, because again, when we don't forgive others, to your very point, it can cause physical changes, and it can do bad things in our own heart where everything flows from our heart. And so forgiveness is not just for yourself. There's a ton of research out there that shows the importance of forgiveness. It is not just for the other person, but it is so that your heart does not become bitter, because if it does, that's going to impact the person that you are and the person that you can become.
Right. When these suspects, defendants, are found guilty, and then there is a point where the victim's family can talk in court, will you, you know, get up there and talk?
I will.
Yeah.
I've already written a letter that I would like to read in court. I wrote it out because I didn't want to forget anything that I wanted to say.
Mm-hmm. How's your family doing?
My sister is doing... This is very difficult for her. So she's doing well, but it's taken some time.
Mm-hmm.
Because my son was just at her house the night before he was killed.
Wow.
So the night before, she had just spent a lot of time. So it's been difficult for her. So when Christmas come up, that's his birthday, it becomes an emotional thing for many people in our family.
You've had,
including myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you've had a few Christmases now.
Yes.
Without him.
Mm-hmm.
And Christmas being his birthday, I don't know. Are you able to celebrate?
We are.
That's good.
What I've decided to do is look at the things in his life that he did,
mm-hmm.
the impacts that he made when he was on earth, and be grateful for those things and celebrate those things. So I have strategically chosen to not allow Christmas to become a day where I'm feeling very sad, but that I'm rejoicing in the fact that my son had a great life. And not only that, the people that killed him were caught. There are so many, there are probably hundreds of thousands, I don't know what the number is, of people who have had someone in their family killed and nobody is caught. So for that, I need to be grateful. And so I try to look for things to be grateful for.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Do you feel like you've been kind of given a new energy to plow forward? I mean, you've got the ministry. You're looking at things. You're looking forward to a podcast. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that energy to use whatever God has given you to move?
I absolutely do. I am energized. I am strategically planning various things to help other moms who have lost their son. So I've been working with some local groups to do various activities around gun violence and helping some of these moms who are just broken.
Yeah.
Just broken.
Wanda Welch, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I look forward
thank
to
you,
hearing
Beverly.
About the things that you'll be doing and accomplishing.
Thank you.
So thank you for sharing your story, being so transparent. I know sometimes it's not easy, but we appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Beverly.
Sure thing. And thank you for joining us for another episode of the 411 Live. We are a nonprofit organization, so if you're so inclined, go to our website, the411live.org, and help us out. Until next time, I'm Beverly Taylor, and this is the 411 Live. Real people, real talk. If you would like to check out past episodes, there are many ways. Go to your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Like and watch us on Facebook. Watch and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And if you have suggestions for future episodes, go to our website, the411live.org. We'll be right back.